Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready?
Another version of the Care to Read Room. We are now embarking upon the principles of the initiation system of the Kemetic teaching. That's right, you do have the Care to Read Room. But we are embarking upon a new segment, ladies and gentlemen, and I'd like to welcome each and every one of you for joining us this evening, and we're glad you came along. You have your Omi Ika 7 in the house, your advisor, the one you need, and your advocate, the one you want. And I'm glad you decide to frequent our room. I'm glad you decide to be a part of this initiation training. This will be approximately about a 25-day training, ladies and gentlemen. And for those of you who are accustomed to going through our traditional training, like our Nearfight training, and also dealing with the spiritual realm training, we're just glad you came back to be a part of this training. We do have a treat for you. We have several different areas that we'll be covering in the Kemetic teaching. And our first very topic is the devotional stage, ladies and gentlemen. And there lies three major stages of the Kemetic system. And they are as follows: the devotional, the heroic, and the spiritual master stage. We're going to be covering those stages throughout the segment of the 25 days. Now, we are going to probably end up having a few more days, like 29 days, because I'm starting it here in the month of November. But I do want to encourage you that there will be lots of homework, and I will recommend for those of you who want to really do an in-depth study that you participate by buying the book. Now, these are going to be the books that we're going to be working with throughout this segment, so that way you will not hear me go to my corner and recommend a lot of books, none other than these, and maybe if we have a guest speaker come on, we'll bring their books on. But we're going to be using the Metanetra 2, Volume 2, by Ankh Asa, and this is a Kemetic initiation system by Ron and Nefra. You want to write that down, R-A-U-N-N-E-T-N-E-F-E-R-A-N-E-N. His books are fabulous, ladies and gentlemen, and I've been using them as a manual and a guide for many years. These are the texts that we'll be working from. We'll be taking bits and pieces from the book, and we will have research and homework so that we can come back and have discussion. And for those of you who don't do homework, we'll still cover that information anyway. Now, this is not going to make you a priest. And I want to offer a disclaimer, and nor will it make you an initiate. But however, these are the things that you can look forward to that will be included in a training for initiates. And if you choose to go on to be a part of Run a Nefer's organization, you can definitely do that because he has a fabulous organization called Asa Aset. Now, this is just the other sister organization to the African Kemetic. The African Kemetic teaching is a sister to dealing with Ifa, and then there's Vadum and Icon, but they're all African religions which primarily are structured the same way. And boy, do we have a treat for you this time, and you definitely want to go the whole distance with us and follow us as we go along. Right now, I want to take a station identification, and we're going to bring those drummers out here because we definitely will keep our drummers handy so that we can have the drum call. Can I have a drum roll, please? That's what I'm talking about. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be right back at you in the end. Thank you very much for that drum roll. African tribe. Thank you so much for bringing that drum roll in, and we're now ready to go straight into the Talking Cure. Ladies and gentlemen, stand to your feet now that you have the drum roll. Let's proceed on with the Talking Cure. I'm going to see if I can get permission to speak by an elder. Elder, do I have permission to speak?
Yes, by all means, you have a permission to speak.
Thank you so much. Baba, is the libation ready? Purification?
Yes, libation is ready.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to proceed with the libation. Getting ready to pour libation means that we have to get cleaned up, and it's a process of purification that is in order. I'm going to pour libations to the west. I pour libations to the east. I pour libations to the south. And I pour libations to the west. Ladies and gentlemen, you are now standing on holy ground, and we also make sure water hits the ground. This area is now purified. We want to make sure we do this because it's in order with the ritual, and this is customary for the tribes to do whatever. Father, is libation complete? Purification?
Purification is complete.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, you are now in the Talking Cure. We want to become very still in our spirits, get very quiet in our spirits as we take this time doing this new segment. We will be doing meditation. Meditation is a breathing method, ladies and gentlemen. May I add that it's important that you understand the breathing techniques are done with inhalation in and out, with inhaling in, exhaling out, breathing to the point of exhaling out the frequencies that are negative, inhaling frequencies that are positive. Let's take deep breaths now. Breathing in, breathing out. Breathing in, breathing out. Taking in the knowledge of comedic teaching, breathing out the excess fallacies and lies, inhaling in the new thought pattern, exhaling out all negative views. Taking deep breaths now. Breathe with me now. I'll synchronize my vital signs with yours as we breathe together. Breathing in and breathing out. No thought pattern or nothing but the Creator. Allowing the Creator to speak to us, to us, and through us. Manifesting Himself in all realms of our life. As we take on this breathing method, we know that we are breathing life inside. And all decays are being excretiated. As we breathe in, it gives us the ability to put ourselves in a trance so that we can begin to hear from our higher selves, quieting our spirit, because we know how noisy the spirit can be. We know how noisy that the mind can be. Resting the mind and allowing a Creator to permeate our thoughts. Creator is in the house now, ladies and gentlemen. Allowing the Creator to allow you to tap into your right side of your creative brain. Not allowing the aggressive left side to take over, but allowing the creative flows to be present here and accounted for. Each one present here today, taking a deep breath in and out, is a breath for life. Breathing out the excess negative carbon dioxide. Breathing in the inhalation of fresh air. Visualize now with me the powers excretiating from your hand, extending the powers to those who are in need. Visualize with me now the powers from your hand and the frequency levels being generated across the nation and the airwaves. Visualize your situation being put to rest visualize all forms of physical disorder being cured, affirming that you are loved and that you are lovely, affirming that you are all and the all is all and there is nothing but the all, an affirmation that I will take control of my life, I will take time to meditate, I will focus on the Creator, I will go and consult my ancestors, breathing in the oxygen, saying the name of God, the only known word of God is ah, 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 breathing in the tone of ah. We know there are many tones. We breathe in the oxygen, excretiate the carbon dioxide. Visualizing with me now, being set in a deep, deep sleep, traveling on a journey, reaching those places that have never been seen before, finding hidden treasures of the ancient old, of the Kemetic, finding our own country, Egypt, learning their customs and traditions. Visualize with me as we walk into the unknown. We see ourselves in another planet. We see ourselves operating and working out our salvation. Work out your salvation. Work out your salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, we call on our ancestors now. We like to call on our ancestors. We like to light a candle for my mother's spirit to give them light. We like to light a candle for my father's spirit to give them light. We set a glass of water out, quench their thirst, so that they might have the fluids that they need. We call on the ancestors. We call on the family member ancestors now. We call on Clara Jenkins, Robert Jenkins, and we say Ashe. We call on Kali B. Harvey, and we say Ashe. We call on Robert Jr. Jenkins, Ashe. We call on Marvin Jenkins, Ashe. Eugene Lilly, Ashe. Isa Lilly, Ashe. Nisha Lilly, Ashe. Ludell James, Ashe. Louise Lord, Ashe. Lucille Day, Ashe. Daniel Lilly, Ashe. We call on Sam Lilly, Ashe. Are you home, Sam? We call on George Lilly, Ashe. And we say, so be it, so let it be done. Ancestors, are you home and are you free? Are you home and are you free, ancestors? Are you home and are you free? Let us walk into the sanctuary together, 2x2, 4x4, 6x6, and 8x8. Walking into the sanctuary is a traditional custom. As we walk into the sanctuary, elders in front, children in back. Bring up the rear, I say, children. Ancestors are waiting, and their seat is waiting for us. As the elders go in to take their places, elders, take your places quickly. Be seated wherever you may. And allow us to stand on your shoulders, ancestors. And allow us to look over your shoulders. As we come into the sanctuary, we remember when the slaves were molested, unable to go into the sanctuary. As we come into the sanctuary, we are grateful. There is a place where we can be unmolested, unharmed. And we thank you. Come quickly, ancestors. Come quickly, elders. Take your places. children, sit in the back. Please take your places. Quickly, quickly, take your places. The elders are here and the ancestors are here. Quickly, we must begin. Let the commencement begin. Take your places. Be seated. Thank you so very much. Now that we're into the sanctuary, we would like to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for going with us on the talking cure. We use the talking cure as a form of psychological therapeutic debriefing. All of the long, you have been instrumental in working a plan for curing yourself of the middle passage struggle, of the scars and the post-traumatic stress syndrome that you've experienced from coming across the land in your parents' loins. Not necessarily that you traveled through the middle passage experience, but because your ancestors and elders were traveling, you were in their loins, and the same chemical release that they released in your veins was in their veins of struggle. So now you're experiencing post-traumatic stress and you're experiencing all manners of psychological disorders. We have been wounded, but during this segment, we are working on debriefing our wounded selves, and the talking cure is fit and in order. As we talk out our problems and find solutions to aid us in bringing the ancestors in, to result to them to talk about solutions for our problem of today's psychological debriefment. Thank you very much, ladies. You made it, ladies and gentlemen, you made it through the psychological debriefing. You can conduct this in your own homes anytime. Put your music on and go through a debriefing and work on curing your own problems and working out your own salvation. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you so very much for being a part of that. And we want to go to station identification, and we'll be right back at you in the air. My best friend will have to entertain you as we take a station identification.
My best friend, arranged by the author Sherelle Omiika Bidiako Garth. I wrote a thesis. No, I'm not a doctor studying in amniocentesis. About the effect that the female had on the black man. It was time somebody took a real stand in order to redeem man. My instructors and professors had applauded for me challenging such a topic that had long been avoided. In my effort to find my best friend, it had led me to a place of no real end, realizing in reality that we both existed in total duality. The document was submitted for publishing to Juwanza Kanjufu after it had been read by Teju. He soon wrote back with publishing instruction, only now I can't get my writing on for so much disruption. In due time, I guess, or maybe even in a good season. You know, all things usually work together for a reason. This task has appeared to lead me down a different path, which has now held up my draft. Moreover, what I ponder, what made me write about the black man, I wonder, while in my struggle to find my best friend, led me to a place of no real end, that we both existed in total duality. I was searching as if I was under a spell, which had my inhibition backed up, like male, lock, stock, and barrel. Father, I hope you'll be able to forgive me for not first attempting to look within. In my struggle to find my best friend, realizing in reality we both existed in total duality. In my final effort to complete this thesis, I had to research all the original pieces, rhyme upon rhyme, serving up no hymns before their time in order to bring a new flavor of line, while collecting these legendary species to collaborate with this foreign thesis, I had to consult with the priestess on the topic of discussion to avoid any future repercussion in my struggle to find my best friend, which had led me to a place of no real end.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we really have to practice duality. What we see in duality is very important. What we see in shades of gray, black and white, and when we see the unk, we see in duality. When we see a woman, female gender, and we see the male gender in duality. And we also have to understand that God works in duality. And as we begin to understand that out of us we must bring light, and out of darkness light was drawn out of that. And when we speak of good, we've automatically spoken of evil. That's why we have the yin and the yang, and we spoke about that in our last segment. So I want to bring you up to date. So what are we talking about today, Omi? What are we talking about? We're talking about the principles of the initiation system of the Kemetic teaching. Now, I'd like to give you a little history, a little foundation. I'm going to talk a little bit about Asarian religion. And we're going to use the term religion here, whereas with the Ifa, we use the customs and way of life. But the Asarian religion is a part of the Kemetic teaching. The Kemetic teaching is the way of life. I don't want you to get the Kemetic confused. It's a way of life, whereas the religion is an Asarian religion. Now, let me read to you from page 7 in the Medinetur of Asar, volume 2. On page 7, it says, Unk Asa, I am Unk Asa. There were the words backed in the substance that most Kemetic ancient Egyptian men and women hoped to proclaim before their life came to an end. It was almost enough for everyone to merely aspire the ideas for the nation to enjoy social harmony and prosperity that ensued from it. What exactly does it mean to say Unk Asa? I will answer the question in due course in this book, as he explains. He says, sufficient to say for now that if people in the world today had this aspiration, the world should be free of ills in its experiences. And he goes on to say, and I quote, imagine that you have come up with a new system for teaching dogs to jump through a hoop, and it is failing while other systems are succeeding. Since dogs cannot teach themselves to perform this trick, you must blame yourself and your system for the failure. The same is true of the behavior required of people. If they are to achieve personal and social harmony and prosperity in their cases, the process requires that they unlearn undesirable behaviors and replace them with their opposite, as well as awakening and developing dormant talents and faculties. These are clearly not tricks. They can be taught to themselves. Yet the prominent of the dominant behavior shaping system in the world today, religious psychologists, sociologists, educators, philosophers, etc., excuse the failures of their system by shifting the blame over to the people whose negative behavior is caused by the failure of the professionals. To provide proper accumulation and things that are the way they are. They claim because people are hypocrites, ignorant, evil, sinners, etc., they fail to realize that if people were not as they are, there would be no need to have behavior-shaping institutions. These were invented to raise people out of these shortcomings. Now, in other words, what they're saying is if people would act better and do better, there would be no need to have institutions that were behavior-shaping institutes, such as the church. They're absolutely right, ladies and gentlemen. At one time, there was no need for the church because people's shaping conditions were a lot better, and that's when Africans were living a holy spiritual life. There was no need for the church for them. The shift of responsibility is not evidence of a grand Machiavellian plot. The excerpts for that small elite, but the results of the total ignorance and lack of recognition of the true basis for a behavior shifting system. In other words, all of the dormant behavior shaping systems and institutions in the world are based on a concept of man and God in some cases. That does not match reality. What would you expect if you attempted to grow desert plants in a swamp and a failure to realize the mismatch? You would end up giving out Nobel Prizes for brilliant medicines for the disease of the leaves and that fungus attacking the root and so on as you march down to the path to invigorate and defeat. In that same manner that you applied an unsuitable environment to the plant, obviously out of ignorance of the plant's nature, so has Western man applied systems of shaping behavior that are unsuitable to man out of ignorance of his nature. In other words, men have been acting very ignorant and applying things that don't match up. What then is man's nature, ladies and gentlemen? Were you an ancient dweller of the land of the now, a saw, would suffice as your answer, obviously? We have many more ideas to explore in order to communicate the desired answer, as a saw says. Nothing to you, excuse the pun. It will be clear later on. The subject of this book, it reads, is behavior shaping. What we're about to embark upon, ladies and gentlemen, is behavior shaping, which is a form of modification of behavior, a behavior modification, I would say. It is a subject of religion, psychology, sociology, physiology, education, and upon the shaping of man's behavior depends the proper framing of the system of family, government, and economics, which in turn determines man's personal and social harmony and prosperity. The proper framing of all of these systems depend on a correct view of man's nature. Since all behavior-shaping systems attempt to make man from one stage in growth to another, they must all have an accurate and clear view of the beginning and end stage. When you set out on a journey, you must know where you start from and where you're going. We will see that the dominant behavior shaping systems are like drifted wood into the sea because they know only of their present location, knowing nothing of man's origin and where they must take man in his or her growth. They erect very sophisticated ignorance theories and practice that take his or her lower stages of growth as the essence of his being. Our ancestors in Kemetic ancient Egypt developed a profound insight into man's psychological spiritual evolution, the accumulation of which they symbolize as the god of Asa. Unlike Western behavior, shaping systems which are based on man's lower being with the animalistic and lower intelligence faculties, even though these have given us supercomputers and satellites, the ancient African civilization based their behavior shaping system, religious and initiation on the higher part of man's being, wherein resides the divine elements that create him or her, administers him or her life, while in the Western system foster all kinds of behaviors that caters to and strengthens the lower part of the being. In other words, all of these systems are designed to serve the flesh, the lower part of the being. The African system seeks to elevate man to his divine essence, and that would be the spiritual realm. So Africans' whole concept, ladies and gentlemen, and my whole concept is to elevate you to a divine spiritual level, taking you out of the flesh and the lower being of your extremities. What is at stake? Let's answer that question negatively. You may have seen one of those movies. It is the year 4000 AD in a galaxy far away. You are traveling through outer space in a city-sized ship at warp speed, surrounding by the most amazing technology wizardry. In fact, your best friend is part human and part robot and thinks with a computer that seems to put the human brain, God's greatest creation on earth, to shame. So what can threaten you? The old primitive animal compassion, anger, lust, greed, fear, jealousy, and etc. That will not be transcended if we follow the Western plan for the future. Of course, you no longer need such primitive things as a dagger or a bullet or hydrogen bombs. The ultimate in killing science awaits us. Science fiction, you say. Have we not been told that much of what was science fiction is today's, even yesterday's, reality? Rest assured that what these movies are revealing to us is the Western concept of the future. It does not include any visions of spirituality, psychological growth for man, as far as into the future that Western man can see. He is still and cannot see that there is a higher side to man, which as time goes on should occupy the fourth ground of human behavior expression. Now, let's think, ladies and gentlemen. There's a higher ground to man, and that means that man has a higher spiritual self. And in self-serving the lower extremities and the flesh, it counts for nothing because the spirit man needs to be served and it needs to be cultivated. But Westerners are preparing you for the futuristics of what is to come. So they are busy building up the flesh, which will come to perish and will come to naught. But the spirit is what lives forever, which is starving currently, ladies and gentlemen. Now, this is what this shaping program that I am about to work with you on is supposed to do. It's supposed to help you feed and initiate and train the spiritual side of your faculties to help grow up the spirit coming from the flesh all the way matriculating to the head, which is zero, bringing you at a spiritual level where you no longer have need of flesh and where you operate in the spirit realm. Now, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. You no longer have need for the flesh to operate. And if you notice, most of your quarrels and confrontations that you have with the world are really about confrontations that you're having with your flesh. Usually, the flesh goes at war with the spirit, and it manifests itself in a physical fight with somebody else outside of your physical body or spirit. And it has nothing to do with them. It is a war that you are contemplating on the inside of you. And before laying down the teachings about man's nature, ladies and gentlemen, it reads on page 10, the knowledge of self as developed by the ancient black civilization, let's explore our common experiences that we may be able to see that these teachings are just not a model, but an exact form of reality itself. I am sure that there have been times when you had an emotion visit you and you found yourself struggling with it. You found yourself thinking, even though I want it badly, I am not going to give in to it. I know better now. I am not supposed to be drinking that or smoking that or dealing with that person. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Now, how many times have you told yourself, I've given up those cigarettes, and you've actually locked them outside of the house, put them in a trash can, and then you went running for those cigarettes, only to find that they were at the bottom of the trash can, and you tore up the trash can trying to get them out? How many times you say, I'm not going to give in to it. I know better. I am not supposed to be drinking that, smoking that, dealing with that person, etc. It is clear that there is a struggle going on, ladies and gentlemen, and you need to be at least two separate entities, okay? But the exact nature and identity of these two combative entities are confused by the structure of Western thought patterns as reflected in the language in the preceding statement. We saw that it is normal for people involved in an inner struggle to say that it is I that is desiring so and so. At that same time, it is I that is struggling against it. There is no understanding that the part of being in which the energies that are experiencing a desire and emotion is separate from the part of being that is opposed to them. In the course of this book, we will come to see that the part of being in which the energies of the emotional manifest themselves, the likes and the dislikes, and the pleasures and displeasures, is not the same as the part of being that truly represents what we refer to as I or myself. This duality of being, to which we will devote a great deal of attention, ladies and gentlemen, and the reason for coming of the word individual, it is a contracted joining of the individuals and duality. Now, I spoke to you earlier about duality, and I want to go right into my subject now, as I indicated to you that the foundation I wanted to lay was we are dealing with trying to debrief ourselves of social shaping and institutionalizing. Yes, it's a bit of brainwashing, I would say, when you're structuring a behavior to do something different. And that's in order because if we have habits that we can't give up, we need only to practice something for 21 days that is the opposite of that habit. Then it will become a permanent fixture in our mind and we'll act it out. So what we're attempting to do here today is to go through a shaping of your thought pattern and your behavior. And whatever you have difficulties with, when you get into the personal part, you'll be able to work on those habits and clear up a lot of issues that you have personally through the comedic teaching. Now, let me go on here. Now, as I outline the stages of initiation, I indicated to you that the comedic initiation program is divided into three major entities or stages, and that's the devotional stage, the heroic stage, and the spiritual master. The spiritual master. The devotional stage, ladies and gentlemen, it encompasses the work on the faculties of the ninth, eighth, and seventh sphere. And we'll be going into those spheres in a minute to tell you more about what they are. And here on page 182, it outlines what those stages are. The devotional stage is the first stage we're going to be dealing with. And that's the ascent. The first level of initiation is what you're entering into now. And I'll read to you what it says here. We have seen that the comedic spiritual tradition defines devotion to God as the experiencing of sorrow for the lonely role to which the God within is restricted. This has been universally symbolized as the spirit entombed in the body. We must note, however, that the spirit is not the divine self. This is the theme of a major comedic hymn, The Sorrows of a Set, and I quote, which we came across in the portion of the story of Asa dealing with her search for Asa. In this same stage of initiation, the initiation is training to cultivate the ability to experience genuine remorse for indulging in thoughts, feelings, and actions that are determined by the lower part of the being. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, they're throwing shame on you when you allow the lower extremities to rule and you allow them to get the better or the upper hand, then they then begin to immense shame, and you're supposed to be feeling remorse and shame at that particular point, is what they're saying, okay? And in this stage, it goes on, it says, we have seen that the comedic spiritual tradition defines devotion to God as the experience of sorrow for the lonely road to what to which the God within is restricted. This has been universally symbolized as the spirit entombed in the body. We must note, however, that the spirit is not the divine self. I repeat, the spirit is not the divine self. This is the theme of a major comedic hymn, and it reads, and I quote, the sorrows of a set, the sorrows of a set, which we came across in the portion of the story of Asa, dealing with her search for Asa. In this stage of initiation, initiate is trained to cultivate the ability to experience genuine remorse for indulging in thoughts, feelings, and actions that are determined by the lower part of being. As long as much behavior is indulged in the dwelling, God cannot come into the foreground of the life of man. He or she is impure. Western psychologists have recognized that the experiences of remorse for wrong action is essential prerequisite for change in behavior and rehabilitation. Now, let me break that down, ma'am and ladies and gentlemen. How many times have you said to your children, until you show some remorse for what you've done, your unpunishment, I need to see some remorse that you're ashamed or that you're sorry for what you've done? Remorse is the true stage to show that you are now in repentance and you are sorry truly and you're willing to take reshaping and correction. If there is no remorse that's revealed, that person will repeat that behavior again because he has not learned to reshape it. If the remorse is set in and the person sees it's wrong and seeks a new direction to go in, and he's truly been vindicated. And that's how parents determine if a child has learned his lesson. Now, let us go on. The Western psychologists have recognized that the experience of remorse for wrong action is an essential prerequisite for change in behavior and rehabilitation. This principle is applied to the first level of the first stage of the comedic initiation. Incidentally, the sorrow experience over the ill suffered by God's generated a great deal of motivation for embracing the various religion teaching. This observation led the Christians to adapt the theme of the death of Asa and his resurrection, second coming, into their theirs of the death of the second coming of Jesus Christ. In other words, the second coming of Christ. The early Catholic Church also devised a means of generating sorrow for God in their following thoughts, their passion plays that they have written, which were, dramatization of the death of Jesus. Unfortunately, they failed to understand that the sorrow had to connect to the remorse felt by the individual for his or her actions against the God within. So in other words, ladies and gentlemen, this remorse that you're feeling is against the God within you. That is what is happening here. It's the God in you, it's the God in me that will begin to witness and testify to you to cause you to feel remorse and shame and to repent. If there is no God in you, then there is no shame to be experienced. Therefore, repentance is not at hand. It is ourselves when we engage in the deception of ourselves and others to enable us to indulge our lower passion that are the killers of God's within. Yes, these lower passion kills the God within, ladies and gentlemen. It is ourself that keeps the God from rising into our hearts. We keep the God from rising in our hearts. With our yelling and screaming and bitterness, we fight the God off. The good that you would do would be spoken of evil because you suppress it. Excuse me. The second task to be undertaken during this level of initiation, ladies and gentlemen, is as follows. On page 183, it reads, the transference of our identity from the person to the dwelling God. I repeat, we are transferring our divinity as a person into a dwelling God. We can either identify with our person, the complex of habitual mental and sensual and emotional response that outwardly distinguish us from others. Now, we are going to look different, and they're going to say, oh, how they love each other. They must be Christian. They must be Muslim. Look at how they're carrying on. We can either identify with our persons, the complex of habitual, mental, sensual, emotional response that outwardly distinguishes us from others, makes us look different, or we can identify with that part of our being that is the embodiment of the knowledge and the ability to run all of the subconscious vegetative functioning responsible for the operation of our physical, mental, emotional bodies. Psychologists, ladies and gentlemen, sociologists, and gurus of success training have all missed the point. It reads, that as long as the people identify with the personality, with all of its limitations, they cannot constantly raise or rise expressions the higher value of life. While Western religion understands that great things are accomplished through God, they have failed to understand that man must first realize that he or she shares in God's attribute. Here lies where I got my direction for the poem, that man shares in God's attribute and must act in thought, feeling, physical action, and according. And because we're sharing God's attribute, we have to act better. We have to perform better. We have to live better. Here we go now, ladies and gentlemen. Are you seeing the reshaping that we are doing? We are reshaping ourselves because God has planted himself in us. And when we act out or do something against our will or against our better judgment, we cause the God in us to convict us, causing the sorrow to rise up and to feel remorse. Therein lies the true punishment. No other punishment can change what is happening with this psychological debriefing and reshaping that God innately built in us. He innately built the remorse there, so locking a person up, putting them in jail, does not stop the act or the behavior, but true remission of sin, true remorse, allows you to advance and rise up to a higher level. So once a child has remorse in his heart and he learned that he was wrong and you see the tears shed, parents, you need not whip that child at that point. He's truly punished himself because it's been true demonstrated with the remorse of the shedding of tears. He has risen to a higher level. We have to understand that, parent. Here we're finding out how do you get a child to come to remission and remorse of their sins without having to physically put your hands on them. You teach them to hide the word in their heart and allow that word to be dwelling with them as if it's a part of them. Can a man sin against himself? Will a man sin against himself? A man will have remorse if the word is down in them and they begin to become convicted. Their very conviction will put them through trauma, psychological depression, and therein lies the punishment. When you see these souls walking around psychologically depressed, they begin to inflict pain on themselves, and they begin to allow this remorse to spring up in them because there was God sharing inside, dwelling with them, and would met with this unforeseen behavior that was not pleased. So the body, nature supernaturally makes the body have remorse. You have no control of it, ladies and gentlemen. So when you want to shape a thought, a behavior, you've got to have the foundation built there first. You cannot bring shame upon a person who does not have the shaping of the foundation already laid. That's why it's very difficult to shame infants and toddlers. The foundation has not been laid. When you see parents say, oh, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, Billy. Why did you want to go do that, Billy? Billy looks at you and laughs as if, what is she talking about? Woman, I am not experiencing shame here today. Have not come across it. Don't even have it in my foundational teachings yet. Cannot conceive it because at the age bracket I'm at, it will not be indwelling in my developmental stages. That's why it's important to do reshaping, because some of us have not had good foundational teaching and don't know how to have remorse for things we do. Sociopaths are examples. Sociopaths cannot experience remorse for the behavior and the ill gestures and performances that they perform in the community. They have no regress or no second thought or remorse for anything they've done. That is why they're called sociopaths. Let me go on. And it says here, psychologists, sociologists, and the gurus of success training have all missed the point that as long as people identify with the personality, with us, in limitation, they cannot consequently rise to an expression the highest value of life. While Western religion understands that great things are accomplished through God, they have failed to understand that man must first realize he or she shares in God's attributes and must act in a thought, feeling, and physical action accordingly. The successful conclusion of this level of initiation is the automatic, involuntary experiencing of remorse each time wrong is done. You must experience the remorse each time wrong is done. You must get a conviction. You must feel so sick inside that you're ready to tell on yourself. You must go to someone and make a confession. You must get relief from holding it in your body. You must immediately understand this is not like me, and nor is it of God, because God would not do this if he were me. You must go and repent and tell somebody, and you must talk about the remorse and the feeling you're having, so then you know true vindication is at hand, and you have been reproved. The successful conclusion of this level of initiation is the automatic and voluntary experience of remorse each time wrong is done, i.e., there is no expectation to overcome the negative behavior. According to the Tree of Life philosophy of development, all faculties must contribute to the effectivation of change in behavior, psychological healing. Now, we're dealing with reshaping. We have a lot of this to do, ladies and gentlemen, in order to reshape our families, our households. So that is the second level of initiation. At this point, the brief system of initiation is change. How we function in life depends on our belief system. What we believe about the issues of life depends on who or what we think. we are. If we identify, it says on page 184, with our persons, the complex of habitual mental and sensational and emotional response that are outwardly distinguishing us from others, our ideas of how we should handle the many issues of life will be colored by limitations of the lower parts of being. The more into flesh you are, the more you have to overcome, the more challenges you have, the more flesh that has been brought up under subjection and held down, the more spirit will arise. Unlike positive thinking, personal development, and success training system, which gives formulas of positive thoughts with the lower parts of your being, the comedic initiation system teaches, and I repeat, it teaches the initiate to reshape his or her thinking. I repeat, the comedic initiation system teaches the initiate, ladies and gentlemen, to reshape his or her thinking based on the identification within the dwelling divinity as the self. If divinity dwells in you, you cannot live with a lie. If divinity dwells in you, you cannot curse someone and feel rewarded. If divinity lies in you, you cannot steal and rob and take from a man and covet his things. If divinity lies in you, the comedic initiation system says it teaches the initiate to reshape his or her thinking based on the identification with dwelling divinity as the self. It is based on the principles that people believe about the issues of life, their ability to cope, to know, to achieve, to heal, and so on, follow automatically from their self-image. So what do we have to be doing? Developing our self-image. Positive thinking will follow from your self-image, ladies and gentlemen. And if it is positive and the most positive self-image you can get, you can have this, you can have is your identity with God. So you must develop a relationship with God so you have an identity with him. The successful completion of this level of initiation is the automatic and reflux manifestation of the right thoughts in the various situation of life. According to the Tree of Life philosophy of development, all faculties must contribute to the affection of change in behavior and psychological healing. Now, Heteru, the third level of initiation, ladies and gentlemen. At this point, the initiate is trained to go into the trance and experience in his or her enjoying the fruits of the wisdom, the harmony, and the power of coming from identifying with Asa. A particular property of the spirit is inability to differentiate with acts imagined in the state of trance and acts performed in actual life. For example, as far as it is concerned, what you take into trance is as real as what you do. If, for example, over a period of 21 days, you repeatedly go into a trance, ladies and gentlemen, and if this is just a hypothetical situation, and imagine yourself speaking with confidence and eloquence, your spirit concludes that you have actually done this for 21 days and are thus an eloquent and confident speaker, even though you may have never given a speech in your life or had failure in all previous attempts. Acting it out in the spirit for 21 days will allow you to be an elegant master when you do it in the natural. It's almost as if you've already practiced it, because in the spirit realm, it is still real. The successful completion of this level of initiation is the automatic and reflex manifestation of joy in the various situations, ladies and gentlemen. Now, in other words, what I'm saying to you, you ought to be about the business of practicing on all that you do and say in a state of a trance. If you're trying to become a master, get rid of all those things that you cannot do. You simply fail at performing them. And then go into your trance and meditation, speaking them out, calling them out, acting as if you are doing those things. And do them for 21 days as a pattern. Anything that's done 21 days, it becomes a customary thing in your life. Then you begin to see yourself mastering these things. The successful completion at this level of initiation is the automatic and reflux manifestation, it says, and I repeat, of joy in the various situations of life. According to the Tree of Life philosophy of development, all faculties must contribute to the effectuation of change in behavior and psychological healing. It is important to note that in these levels of initiation, the lower faculties from 9 up to 7 have been placed under the direction of the higher part of being. Let me go on. Now we're in the heroic stage of the initiation. Now let me give you a little information about the heroic stage. And the heroic stage we're going to be talking about in our next session. And I'm not sure if we're going to be doing anything with the heroic stage. Let me see here. Okay. We're going to talk more about the heroic stage in the next session, ladies and gentlemen. And you've been really a joy to work with. Now, do you see where I'm going with this in reshaping pattern? This is truly a self-help modality, reshaping your patterns, bad behaviors that you might have of smoking, drinking, gambling, doing things you shouldn't do, being with people you shouldn't be with. You have to use your time to meditate to change and reshape your behavior. Yes, you can. And I don't mean paddling and whipping a kid till they're blue in the face and say you're going to change. That does not work. They must have true remorse and they must have true repentance and reshape their own behavior through the remorse. It's very important that you understand this concept, ladies and gentlemen. We've been talking about the devotional stage, and we're here in the Care to Read room at 646-478-0270. And if you'd like to call in to be a part of this Principles of the Initiate training, you're welcome to do so. We're going to go on with this thing because I think we're on to something. If we can reshape some patterns and thoughts and behaviors and get people conscious enough of the lower extremity, and when people see you, they will be convinced that you are a better people and that you are acting differently, and they'll be able to distinguish you from other people because of the way you carry your countenance. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, yes, this is a bit of brainwashing, I would say. But what happens when you go into churches, you become brainwashed with foolishness there? Here you get a chance to master all of your faults. You get a chance to work on all of your weaknesses. Now, prisons need to take this into consideration. If they're going to rehabilitate men and women, this is the ideal program to take into a prison to get true rehabilitation training. This is a program that I could use with an alcoholic. I can use with a victim who is addicted to some type of controlled substance. It could help them to come out of this thing with remorse and consequently higher spiritual levels of growth and to be able to walk away from it after 21 days. Yes, it's a behavior modification. Yes, it's been successfully used all over the country. Ron Aneffer is no fool. He knows that this program is very effective because it does not only include the behavior modification, but it works on the spiritual being. And this is where you want to do the work and make the changes, whereas all other psychological programs do not include a spiritual aspect. Now, mothers know that they cannot shame toddlers and infants, so why would you want to use this mechanism on them? However, adults respond to this very well, but they must do the work to get the outcome, and that is to meditate properly. Ladies and gentlemen, we are not going to deter you with this, but what we're going to ask you to do is go and purchase your book on Ron Aneffer's book, the book on Medinator Akasa, Volume 2. And start reading, ladies and gentlemen, because I am going to give homework later on this week and going to ask you to read on. If you want to go ahead and read ahead and you do have a book, that is the next stage we'll be on is the heroic stage of the initiation. And that's with Haru, the fourth level of initiation. And I told you I was going to tell you what those different levels were, and I'm going to tell you what that seventh, eighth, and ninth level is on the chart. Now, when you look at that seventh, eighth, and ninth chart, let's look at that seventh level, and that is the power of creative visualization. And the eighth is suggested powers of belief. Number nine is unlimited ability to change via trance. Now, these are the levels that you are going to be functioning at, and they are 10 of these levels, starting with zero being the highest, the inner peace, the happiness. Number two, a limited ability to know. Number three, unlimited ability to do. Number one, we want to say, is self-indulgence divinity. Number one is the self-indulgent divinity. And zero is the inner peace of happiness. Number four, guide to holistic thinking. Number five, divine protection. Number six, freedom to choose. Number seven, power of creative visualization. Number eight, suggestive powers of belief. Number nine, unlimited ability to change via trance. Number 10, vehicle of behavior. Ladies and gentlemen, you are going to find that you are going to transform and be a new person. So you might want to start getting that wardrobe together so that you can start making that transition and reshaping some of those bad behaviors. And if you never do anything else spiritually, do this for yourself, ladies and gentlemen, because you can go back again and again to try to perfect those areas that you have shortcoming in. And it's no hurt or no shame in picking up the book and starting over again for 21 days again. Do it in segments of 21 days. When you're getting ready to meditate, which I'm going to require that you do spend some time meditating, and when you meditate, those areas of your life that you have shortcomings in or you can't master, see yourself doing those things in the trance. See yourself working them out, but you must do it for 21 days. After 21 days, you become a master at whatever that is that you could not accomplish in the natural. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want you to try to do all these things in one sitting, but I want you to read up on Kemetic teaching and the process of initiation and what happens when you're trying to travel up the tree of life. What happens when you're coming out of the flesh, going into the spiritual? What happens to the man's life and a woman's life? Do they change? You better believe they change. They change from a physical, animalistic being to more of a spiritual human being who is in touch with their spiritual feelings. Yes, they change. And by golly, if you do this as frequently as you want, you'll be a better person. And not only to mention that, we're going to take you into understanding how to take images into your trance and use visualization while you're doing your trance and meditation. Who does this? Omi does this. Omi wrote her poetry while doing the Tree of Life meditation, and use it frequently and know the benefit of going into a trance with the Tree of Life, because it's a spiritual foundation, and it's not one where I let people take me into a trance. I can take myself into a trance, and you too can take yourself into a trance, and you can learn these qualities. There are tapes that you can even purchase from Ron and Nefer that you can use in helping guide you into meditation. This is a whole segment. I've already laid the foundation. Most of you who have followed me know I believe in meditation. I've talked about the Tree of Life, Transcendental. I've invited guests on to talk about meditation so you understand what meditation does. Meditation is from the right side of the brain that you're meditating, the creative side. And you want to take away the behavior of the aggressive left-hand logical side. So you must understand that what we're doing is trying to reshape the mind and the body. And as we reshape the mind and the body, you will transcend yourself and become gods. Ye are God's little children, and ye have overcome them. Meaning you overcome the flesh, overcome the lower part of your being. And as you overcome the lower part of your being, oh, how great it will be in that great getting up morning. How great it will be, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to tell you that this is the best thing you could do for yourself. The best thing in reshaping your faculties and going through examining yourself and taking a checklist of those areas that you have weakness in and you want to strengthen. This is the way you learn to strengthen your own continence and behaviors so you could become a better person for yourself. Don't think that it's strange that this is coming from the ancient Hermetic, because they were using mental telepathy. They were using their brains to do all kinds of manners of things. But why are we not doing it? Because we're so loaded down with being physical that we're not in the spirit realm. As we get stronger and get in the spirit realm, our bodies and minds get stronger, and we'll be able to send subliminal messages with a strong mind and a strong continent. But not right now, because you have a lot of foundational work to do. And so do I, because I'm regrouping just like you, and I'm eating up this message right along with you, because I haven't done this 21-day session in a while. At the end of these 29 days, you're not going to only be a master. You begin each one of our sessions that we do, we're going to take you through a meditation process. You can take in your visual apparatuses. Once you get your book, they're in the back of your book, and you can cut those out after Xeroxing them, of course, and take them into your trance so you can work on areas in your life that you want to master. 21 days is what they say, but we're going 29 days. We want to make sure that this thing is going to work for us and reshaping our lives. This is a self-help program. This isn't something we're only going to hold your hand and walk you through. You're going to have to help yourself, ladies and gentlemen, because as you become more of an initiate and master these principles, your life will change. You will become the living epistle of an institution. And you will be able to sit with God and feel confident that you have not offended him. But if you feel that you've offended God in any way, you're going to have turmoil. You're going to be fighting with the flesh and the spirit. And eventually, you are going to experience remorse. That is what the ultimate plan is for us to experience remorse for things we do against God. Do not sin against God, ladies and gentlemen. He lives with you. He knows your address. He's your neighbor. He's inside of you. So why would you go and sin knowing that you have to live with him? It says, whatever you do, do everything you can do, but try in all your power not to sin against God. And if you're sinning and doing something you clearly know is wrong, and you know you have no business doing it, then you are going to have to challenge God who is inside your spirit. Your flesh is going to have to wrestle with him. So I'm telling you that you want to give this to your loved ones who are in prison. Teach it to them. Teach it to those young children that are coming up. Remember, this is an ancient secret. Pass it on to your loved ones so they will have a way of reshaping their behavior, and they don't have to just go knock down the church doors to get in there to try to change bad behavior. You got to do it for yourself. No church is going to sit you down and put you through a training to debrief yourself. This is a debriefing program, because remember we went through the annals of the ship our ancestors went through, and we went with them. So therefore, we have to debrief ourselves of these negative behaviors. Remember when the slaves came here, they had to make sure that they held on to all of their beliefs, and some of them couldn't, and they had to kill, rob, and steal to live. They have to be debriefed of all of that stuff. And they have to understand that the God that we serve is a mighty God. He made provisions for us. He allowed us to get back to our teachings because these were great teachings, and they allowed us to worship with God and to commune with God on a daily basis. What is the sense of getting on this radio every day talking to people about how they are to live if we're not taking it, practicing it at home? I'm going to be putting these laws and principles into practice in my home, because I need to overcome some things and habits. I need to better myself. I need to go on the trance and see myself mastering some things, because sometimes repetition is a master of excellence. So we tell children to repeat something over and over again until they get it. It is a repetition. Repetitions and will make us become a master. Now, I'm not going to claim, and I want to offer this claim, that everybody's going to be a master. I'm not even going to claim that you'd be an initiate, but initiate is one who practices and study. I'm going to say study to show yourself approval, a work we needed not to be ashamed, rightly to divide in the word of truth. And you can make a difference in how you behave, what you're saying, how you're treating people, how you're indulging in things and smoking and drinking. You can make a difference. You can let those things go. And these are not the 12 steps to eliminate alcoholics, but these are the spiritual steps that we place all of those counterfeit programs. And I'm not talking about a hypnotist program. I'm talking about a spiritual program that Ron Neffer is right on the YouTube. You can Google him and see him in action teaching. He's real. He's alive. And he belongs to the African race, and he's a master teacher, and you certainly want to train up on him. Go and look at the YouTube. You can see what he's teaching, and you can see what Omi is telling you is right on time. I have been a lover of his books for many, many years and have used his materials like a manual. And we're going to get right back on this tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to go into depth about what we have to say about the heroic stage of initiation. And right about now, I want to tell you, you've been a great listening audience, and thank you for joining us on this new segment. And I want to send a shout-out into the atmosphere to Harambe Radio Station. I say, Harambe, keep up the good work and keep pushing and going right on with your service, because we're right behind you, brother, and we wish you well. We say hello, Delaney Amon, and we say, Harambe, Harambe, Harambe. And I'd like to say we're going to go out of here kicking it up today and dancing it up, because you know that it is important, ladies and gentlemen, it is important that we see what is going on here. And you know what? I got a little craziness going on here today, a little craziness. But nevertheless, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be about the business of taking care of this tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to know something. I want you to know that we have not stopped what we're doing. We are still about the business of teaching African traditional religion. We are still about the business of making sure that our children know what it is that belongs to us. We're reclaiming those areas of ancient civilization. We are also giving out information, and we are affirming and using affirmations and meditation, all of what the ancient ones used to use. Pick it up. You used to have it lightly. Now pick it up and carry it heavily, because it belongs to you. It's your ancient stuff. Don't tell me about acting white. Oh, that's some stuff about acting white. That's some Mideasterner stuff. Omi's on some Mideasterner stuff because she's over there meditating and chanting and humming and this and that. And no, I'm trying to teach you how to reshape your behaviors and get a better character so that you can grow in grace, grow in grace. My prayer for you is that you grow in grace and that you grow in understanding of how to have remorse and how to climb up the ladder, the tree of the ladder of going to the spirit from glory to glory. That is my prayer for you today, ladies and gentlemen. And I like to say, on that note, keep it real. Stay on top of things. Get your books. Get ready to come to class, because, ladies and gentlemen, school is in session. And when the pupil shows up, the teacher will be there waiting for him. That's according to Omi. And I want to say to you, Baba Boy to you, y'all. Have a good evening. And on that note, I say, oh, double. But you know what? They took my music off. So I'm going to have to sing you a little song before we leave. Because you know how we do things around here. We sing you a little song before we leave. The room grew steep as she made her way to Jesus, as she trembled from the tears that made her blind. Still on she came. She even heard some folk whisper, see, there's no place here for her kind. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard. As she poured the oil for her master from her box of alabaster, and I came to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears, then I dry them with my hair, with my hair. See, you were there when they found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms all around me. And you don't know the cost or a destroyer in my earth. The best is gone. I can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner from the tears that held me down. I spent my days pouring my life out without measure into a little treasure box I thought I had found. Until the day when Jesus came to me and filled my soul with the wonder of his touch. So now I'm giving back to him all the praise he's worthy of. See, I've been forgiven, and that's why I love him so. Oh, and I came to pour my praise on him like oil for Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears, then I dry them with my hair, with my hair. See, you were there the night you found me. You did not feel what I felt when you wrapped his loving arms all around me. And you don't know the cost. You don't know the cost. You don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster. Go and teach, and we'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place, at 6 o'clock in the Care to Read Room. Join us as we go on with the training of the heroic stages of the initiate. Tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you here.